go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for this final broadcast of the month of Sloptember 2018. Yes, I said Sloptember last night when I was standing out in the rain for various and sundry reasons, getting soaked to the bone. I decided that, yes, I would rename this month Sloptember. This is the final broadcast of the month of Sloptember. It is the 28th day of Sloptember 2018, and we have thanks to send out. The final subscriber thank yous for the month of September. Monday, we'll see the beginning of a new broadcast month. And so, in no particular order, thank you very kindly to Sharon, and thank you to Randy in PA, and thank you to Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Harold. And thank you very much indeed to Joy. Joy said, in honor of what would have been the birthday of my dad, a yellow dog Democrat who treated his mom, my mom, me, and every woman he ever met as brilliant, exquisite, equal human beings. Thanks, Dad. From Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Joy. And thank you very kindly to Philip in Texas. And thanks very much to Smitty in Florida. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rhode Island. And those are our subscribers and one kind gift for this 28th day of the 28th day of the month. And as soon as I put up my complaint, I don't think the universe actually works this way. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I don't think the universe actually works this way, but no sooner had I put up my complaint about Sloptember than, lo and behold, we actually got a sunny day today. And, oh, golly, I hope it lasts, because I would very much like to get some, it's still too wet, but I'd like to get some mowing and some weed eating in. And it's looking like we've got a passing fair shot at partly sunny tomorrow, and it says absolutely sunny skies come Sunday. So it could be that I'll be outside mowing, weed eating, set up the I may get to set up the little portable gas grill and tinker with it some more, and see what sorts of things I can accomplish in terms of outdoor cuisine. Yeah, I'm a little hopeful. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, headon.live is where we live, and if you would, I encourage you all to go there at your leisure. It's a great way to get the audio stream for the program, both live and in repeat. And, of course, there's that chat room link. And all you got to do is pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump right in, where you will be met this evening by the early arrivers, Anatole and Larry and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this evening to become Man Cave. So we've got that going for us, which is good. Now, a few pieces of internets. I got several internets. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. God, that never gets old. that crank, you know, that old crank from Alaska, that old Republican crank. Yeah, here we go. I had a note from Genial Todd down South Carolina way. Unbelievable news day. There is so much wrong in action right now. Chuck Grassley is ingesting highly fermented cud. Therefore, we have a proceeding that has been heavily influenced by fermented cow cud. The 2-hour time limit and the adjournment today were remarkable. Meanwhile, a note coming from Michael in Madison. It is Brett is the subject line. Henceforth, whenever I refer to Kavanaugh as Brett, I'm just winding up my bees. It definitely doesn't stand for boozin', blacked out, barfin', boofin', big baby boy Brett. Hashtag be best. Hashtag be Brett. And thank you for that, Michael, because I've been sort of mulling over nicknames for him now that... And by the way, is that not a lovely piece of political theater taking place right now? You know, the one where they pretend that there's a half a chance that Kavanaugh won't make it onto the court. But we all know that Lisa Murkowski is going to vote for him. Susan Collins is going to vote for him. Jeff Flake is going to vote for him. And, hey, my alleged Democratic Senator Joe Manchin's probably going to vote for him. They'll win by 52-48. Maybe 53-47 if Heidi Heitkamp decides to stick the shiv in women and, you know, other human beings in her state, like Joe will very likely stick the shiv in women and other human beings in this state. Brother Deacon Asa says, is Sloptember a boofing reference? I'm asking for a friend who's trying to get on the Supreme Court. And by the way, a correction on boofing. I'm a couple of years older than Brett. And I had always understood that to be a reference to anal copulation because of boo-foo. But, yeah. I am apparently wrong. I have led far too much of a sheltered adulthood. Somewhere along the way, and apparently childhood too, somewhere along the way, boofing became a reference to the ingestion. The ingestion of alcohol via rectal administration. The ingestion of alcohol via rectal administration. And then there's the devil's triangle. That's the thing. Yesterday, Brett perjured himself about things big and small. He perjured himself about the definition of boofing. That refers to flatulence, ma'am. And that's why it says on his yearbook page, have you boofed yet? Since when does any human being using the English language ask another human being, have you broken wind yet? Have you passed gas yet? Have you farted yet? How does that sentence make any sense at all? Boy, I tell you what, we're down it. Jesus, have we ever gotten in the gutter this fast? 10 minutes into the program and we're... But Is it a surprise? I mean, not because of the program, but whenever you're talking about hardcore right wing operatives, well, sooner you're going to get into the gutter sooner or later. Have you boofed yet? He knew what it meant. He knew what the Devil's Triangle was. I can't recall. Did they get around to asking him about 4th of July? Oh, okay. Mike in Cascadia. Heading out to mow and weed eat now on a glorious Pacific Northwest afternoon. Keep the rain in WV. And it is accompanied by a photograph of said glorious Pacific Northwest afternoon. Mike, that is indeed glorious. Ooh, that's just downright beautiful. With the first tips of red beginning to touch the outer extremities of the greenery. That's gorgeous. But it doesn't look like you have a lot of mowing or weed eating to do. It looks like it's, well, mostly done. Thank you, Larry. Larry says, mowing the lawn is a boring hassle, but you really need to get it done. Bob, let it weigh on your mind. I enjoy it. I get all thinky there behind the mower. Yeah, Ted Stevens is who I meant. Marty. In series of tubes, dude. Megan. With a note, subject line, frat boy. How are we supposed to believe he was a choir boy when he's introduced slang into our lexicon that I've never heard and never wished to know in all my years of high school and college combined? And me, with a younger brother and all his friends hanging around the house growing up. I know. And you know what Agnes and I did last night to sort of detox from all the rapey Kavanaugh stuff? We watched Scent of a Woman. And I guess you could say we kind of got clear, but I thought of that particular film just because it's got some very Brett Kavanaugh in high school characters in it. Especially the Philip Seymour Hoffman character. What's this? Concentrate on the mower, Bob, says Randy in PA. Well, yeah, but some weed eating badly needing doing, too. Oh, and then this. Audio only, so you'll miss the video aspect of it, but mostly it's the audio that makes it one of the best things I've seen on the interweb tubes today. Okay, so, give me a second here. All right. And, of course, a graphic courtesy of Sister Carol Baker, Pooh and Piglet sitting on a log.
What day is today? Asked Pooh. It's the day we burn this motherfucker to the ground, squeaked Piglet. My favorite day, said Pooh.
Isaac, you're disgusting. That's just a private message for Isaac. No, Isaac says, so you are you going to let Agnes boof you this evening? No. No, 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 there's no boofing in the Kincaid home. Sorry. No, just aren't. But, no, this is magnificent. It truly is. This is a mashup. And it may be the best mashup of all time. I think you'll recognize it rather quickly.
Now, let me take a wild guess here. You're Brett, right?
Correct.
I thought so.
I got into Yale Law School.
Check out the big brain on Brett!
That's the number one law school in the country.
You're a smart motherfucker, that's right.
I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. Did you have it?
Beer. I still like beer.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Sometimes I had too many beers, but I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out, and I never sexually assaulted
yes,
anyone.
Yes, you did! Yes, you did, Brett!
He is warm, friendly, unassuming. He's the nicest person.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Like I said, quite possibly the best thing I've, best mash, from Pulp Fiction, and from yesterday's hearing. Of course, the beer, I like beer. At some point, maybe it's already happened, someone will do a mashup of, or somehow or another bring Rain Man into the situation. Yeah. My favorite part of that is the response to Precious Lindsay. Nobody asked you a goddamn thing. Wouldn't you love to see somebody say that to Precious Lindsay? Oh, by the way, you know, it's Friday on the front porch. And here in about 43 minutes or so, we will fire up the heater or the air conditioner here in the old hollowed-out tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves and gather together around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. You're welcome to be a part of it. Most of it takes place via Skype. If you never have before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk. And hopefully, well, he'll have... He's still got an older version of Skype, so it won't be quite as difficult for him to bring people into the conversation as it was for me last week. Again, avoid this update of Skype like the plague. But, yeah, jump into the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And we've got one phone line for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable as well. That number is 304-640-2829. 304-640-2829. And that's the stress line named for the irrepressible, memorable, gone but not forgotten Bill... Mr. Stress Miller. Darlene in Connecticut says, yeah, White House did. He got into the Brett, said it was a reference to one of his prep school classmates on how he said the expletive fuck. The kid always began it with a long long breathy F headed toward the uck. Okay, I missed that. I got, but, well, like I said, it was an exhausting day, and today was an exhausting one, but today was more about the brinksmanship leading up to the committee vote. Jeff Flake once again has proven himself a master of the Parthian shot using rubber-tipped arrows. Spring! After voting to confirm the nomination in the committee process, of course, the confirmation got out of committee by one vote. Jeff Flake then turned around and said, "Well, we need a one-week delay for an FBI investigation." Which, as of airtime, I had not seen Chinless Mitch McConnell's brutal response to that. The vote is scheduled as early as Monday. But there it is. Julius Geezer, who showed up today saying, oddly enough, saying that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford gave compelling testimony. And he was almost quiet. And I'm guessing they had him dosed to the gills again. But lo and behold, yes. The FBI will be doing an update of the background check. He said, "I've ordered the FBI to conduct a supplemental investigation to update Judge Kavanaugh's file. As the Senate has requested, this update must be limited in scope and completed in less than 1 week." Well, now, isn't that interesting? In other words, all this trouble could have been saved. All of yesterday's drama could have been forestalled had Julius Geezer simply done that, just like George H.W. Bush did that in 1991. But Chuck Astley was determined to play brute force power politics because he was following the orders of Chinless Mitch McConnell, and that's the only way that Chinless Mitch plays. Just raw, naked exercises of blunt force. And, well, I know that there are a lot of people who think that there's big doings that are going to come out of this. Phil Mudd, who's a former CIA officer, he showed up over on CNN talking to Jake Tapper and seems pretty breathless about the whole thing.
Could the FBI investigate that might have any sort of consequence?
I think there's one substantial question that we've missed. The focus so far obviously has been on trying to get information about what happened at that house party 30-something years ago. Clearly, that's something that will come up in the investigation, and that's what the White House is going to charge the FBI with doing. But let me give you a different perspective. You walk in, if you're the FBI, to do interviews of people who were there. You're also going to ask about environment. What were people like, and specifically, in high school and college, what was Judge Kavanaugh like? What were his drinking proclivities? You're going to ask about his treatment of women. You're going to ask about drugs. Here's the bottom line, Jake. I think there's a possibility. ability. I'm not saying this will happen, but in any case I witnessed, that you get a story from friends that those 30-something years ago that doesn't correspond with the lifestyle story that the judge told to the Senate, that's what we call lack of candor. That's a potential you could see in this investigation well beyond the assault allegations.
We just got a statement in from Judge Brett Kavanaugh that says, quote, throughout this process, I've been interviewed by the FBI. I've done a number of background calls directly with the Senate. And yesterday I answered questions under oath about every topic the senators and their counsel asked me. I've done everything they have requested and will continue to cooperate, unquote. So he will answer any questions if the FBI has any questions for them. But you're basically saying that the FBI investigation, even if they are told, just investigate this one assault charge, find out if the allegation is true, if there's anything more we can find out. The FBI might say, well, we didn't find anything on that, but we did find out that he was not forthcoming in his testimony before the Senate on X, Y, and Z, and they could still go down that road even though they're told only investigate the allegation?
I don't think the two are separate. If you walk into a room, let's say with people who knew him in college or high school, and you say there are allegations about how he treated women, and those people start to say, well, a lot of us don't remember because the entire environment was a beer-fueled environment. Everybody was drinking 15 beers, and Judge Kavanaugh was. I don't think the two issues are separate.
Do you think it's going to play like that? Remember, this is Trump's FBI, and since it's a request from Trump, well, I don't know. Phil Mudd seems more optimistic than I would be willing to be. Lack of candor is real. Gotti even lied yesterday at. And he even lied yesterday about the drinking age in Maryland. Yeah. The drinking age in Maryland was 21 at the time that he turned 18 and had been for a year or so. He said, so the seniors were able to drink legally. No, they weren't. When he turned 18, the legal drinking age, again, was 21. And while the oodles of young people, teenagers, myself included, drank illegally before, juveniles, I mean, hell, there was more jeopardy attached to drinking underage where I grew up than there was for Brett. Because at least alcohol was legal in Montgomery County, Maryland. Where I grew up, we actually had to drive 11 miles to the Tennessee state line, where every crossing into Tennessee had a package store. And we would make runs, and so you could get busted not just for underage drinking, but also for importing illegal alcohol into the state of Alabama. Most of the time, they just make you pour it out on the side of the road. But I do recall one time when a friend of mine, the cop came around. He was on the passenger side. The cop came around to the passenger side, pecked on the glass. My buddy held one finger up, wait a second, and drank an entire quart. A glass quart bottle of Miller High Life, and then rolled the window down and handed the empty to the cop. Thanks to white privilege, he was neither arrested nor beaten to death nor shot. In fact, the cop kind of laughed. I think the answering remark was, well, you'll be pouring it out on the ground sometime later then. That, and in fact, that was the day that we came up with the realization, and it comes to everybody sooner or later, that beer is not really a purchase item. It's a rental item, kind of like a U-Haul. You rent it in one place, and you leave it in another. Larry pointing out it was right about that time that all states had to up it to 21 or lose federal highway funding. Because
if I recall correctly, I went from legal at 18 to legal at 19, and then there was a space between 19 and 21. Yeah, just kind of weird. Yeah, Megan says, that mashup makes me want Samuel L. Jackson to run the FBI investigation on Kavanaugh and assist Mueller. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, since we've already headed to the gutter, I feel compelled to do my part to jump to the curb and hit the ditch full on. In the event Brett is ever convicted of perjury and goes to jail, he should learn a new chant to yell for when he's running down the hall of his prison. No means oral, and yes means anal. It ain't Yale, but this will be useful info for him to have on hand. Larry says, Bob, you rebel, riding on out to the line. Run, run, run. Crazy southern laws, dry counties. I've only heard of such places. It's not dry anymore, but it, by God, was. And there are still dry counties. And there are still goofy southern booze laws. I don't know if they ever got around to changing it over in Mississippi, but in Oxpatch, Mississippi at one point, the home of the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, you could not buy beer cold. You could buy beer, but you had to refrigerate it yourself. And you'd have to travel some several, a couple of counties away to be able to buy it cold. No, I've never seen the original 1974 Italian version of Scent of a Woman with Vittorio Gassman. Flavio says it's even better. It might be worth looking into. I'm sorry. I'm not sanguine about the prospects of stopping this nomination. That is not to say that the effort should not be made. I just expect some exercise of naked blunt force political power because they've got to have him. I mean, Jesus, as much as Julius Geezer hates George W. Bush. They trotted out George W. Bush today to make phone calls. I worked with him. He worked for me. Brett Kavanaugh, he worked for me, and he was a fine feller. He helped us with the torturing, and of course, he helped in the cleanest hunt. He's a fine feller. You should vote for him. He didn't try to kill my daddy. Wow. And, you know, it wasn't a real good look for Mark Judge yesterday to say that he didn't want to testify because he had anxiety issues and he was a cancer survivor. Because after what Dr. Christine Blasey Ford put herself through, no. But, lo and behold, there he is. Mark Judge has decided that and announced that he will cooperate with any law enforcement agency that investigates confidentially. But he still doesn't want to testify publicly. How is it that you get to dictate terms like that? You drop the subpoena on him and you bring him in. How do you see that? How do we look at that as anything but a manifestation, again, of white privilege in the extreme? I don't know. I keep trying to imagine anybody else but a white Republican, white-wing crony telling the Senate of the United States and the FBI, no, I simply refuse to testify in person and publicly. I just can't do that, I'm afraid. Thank you. I'm imagining a man of color trying to say that, and suddenly and almost instantaneously finding himself wearing an orange jumpsuit, shackled hand and foot, and sitting at a table in a public hearing room. As far as the drinking age was concerned, the whole thrust of that is that he was an underage drinker, like ever so many of us were. It's kind of a, well, in the main, I think it's a function of the unhealthy Puritanism that obtains in this country. A lot of people who develop drinking problems by drinking early and drinking young do so because of the forbidden fruit aspect that hung up American culture puts on the consumption of alcohol. No, I don't have a study or anything to point toward it, but if you're an Italian kid or a French kid or a German kid, and there's always been a bottle of wine or beer on the table at dinner because, you know, especially France and Italy, is the first thing you do the minute you get old enough to slip off with some to get, you know, sloppy, falling down, puking the Porsche drunk? I just suspect that it isn't. And when they say, by the way, Marty says, how limited is the scope? Well, it's going to be limited to investigating the allegations of the sexual abuse claim. But that means talking to Mark Judge. And it means talking to some of the other kids, particularly the ones who show up on the calendar, Brett Kavanaugh's calendar. Did you happen to notice that it was the question about Brett Kavanaugh's calendar from Aunt Lydia that made Aunt Lydia suddenly go away? Because Brett was about to get himself into some deep shit. And the next thing you know, there's Precious Lindsay shrieking like he's just found a fly in his flaming rum punch. And Aunt Lydia was never heard from again. Well, thank you very kindly, Les. Les has rewritten the lyric to Eastbound and Down to include me. Yeah, thanks. And, of course, there won't necessarily be another hearing. They're just going to do the investigation and then vote, I presume. We may not even find out what the investigation uncovers. But the reason that it's going to be a limited scope in a short time, we're not going to look into, I guess, receipt of stolen or trafficking in stolen property, which he committed perjury over. We're not going to investigate any of the other three, at least, lies that he told under oath. And along the way, we have to acknowledge that Joe Manchin is enjoying all the attention. Joe loves him some attention. Oh, yes. I had this little tableau in my head earlier today. It was Jeff Flake and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, all Republicans, and then, you know, Joe, who's also a Republican but has a D after his name, and who presumably would be necessary in the effort to retake the Senate. Joe is up by 8 or 9 points, depending on what polling you look at, over pill-pushing Patrick Morrissey. But I imagined a conversation that was sort of with Jeff Flake saying, okay, look, I'm going to say that I'm not going to vote till we have an investigation. Then hopefully we'll get the investigation. And let's see, Lisa, you and Susan decide which one of you is in bigger trouble. I'm guessing it's Lisa. Lisa, if you need to still vote no, that's okay. And I'll vote yes. And Susan, you vote yes. And then Joe will stay silent until the last moment, and then he'll vote yes too. And Joe, who for years went to every fetus fetish bean dinner in West Virginia, said, oh, goody. Because last night a spokesperson close to Joe Manchin said the following via Elena Plott over at The Atlantic. A source close to Senator Manchin tells me now, short of claims that definitively prove Dr. Ford's allegations or a realization that Kavanaugh will gut the health care law, Manchin will side with the overwhelming number of people in West Virginia who want Kavanaugh confirmed. Well, the overwhelming number of people in West Virginia who want Kavanaugh confirmed are fucking maggots who aren't going to vote for Joe anyway. I haven't found any Democrats who say, gosh, I sure hope he votes to confirm Kavanaugh because as a West Virginia Democrat, I want him, you know, I want that man on the Supreme Court so that he can do the right wing's bidding for 40 years. And I haven't found, but the problem here is that you've got people who say, well, I'm going to vote for him no matter what on November 6th because we got to keep that one Democratic Senate seat. No, yeah, I'm going to. And see, that gives him a pass to go ahead and vote for Kavanaugh. Brett. And so just having watched Joe Manchin for a number of years, I fully expect him to do the wrong thing. Had a note from Larry a little bit ago. He said, I thought of you earlier as I heard Sam Cedar, had him on in the background, and he mentioned that West Virginia is the most racist state in the Union. It is, and at least by one metric, and echoed all your wisdom about how anyone more progressive than Joe Manchin could never get elected in your state at any time in the foreseeable future. I think he meant voting-wise on the racist thing. Well, no, going back to, I think, the campaign of 2008, was it? More people from West Virginia searched the terms Obama and that racial epithet, that vulgar, hateful racial epithet that involves the I, the R, the E, the N, and the two G's that isn't ginger. More West Virginians did that than anybody anywhere in the country. So, among other things, we don't have much of a progressive infrastructure. We don't have a bench, as the sporting analogy goes. We got a few that are coming along, but aren't ready yet. No. Marty says, is Jeff Flake trying to run for president? I think the idea has crossed his mind. More than anything, though, he's just tired of Trump ruining his fun. There he was among the absolute most conservative senators in the United States, and he could vote for all kinds of hateful shit. And along comes Trump and just ruins everything for him. Steve in New York with some observations. What's going on with Kavanaugh? I don't know why I'm the least bit optimistic, but I am. My hunch tells me that he will never take a seat on the Supreme Court, but I'm not sure why I think that. Something does make me wonder if the current justices won't, behind the scenes, indicate they don't want the guy there. They don't want another Slappy Thomas who's not just a drunk, but violent and angry. Steve continues and says, here's a question only a lawyer could love. Given the debate about whether anyone can indict the president because the exclusive remedy is to remove by impeachment, does it also stand to reason that you can't indict a sitting federal judge? No, it does not. There is no such guidance. And the idea of not being able to indict a sitting president is exactly that. It is merely guidance from the post-Watergate Department of Justice era, after Nixon was listed as an unnamed co-conspirator in federal indictments. That's my understanding of the situation. As for the business about, well, you know, this is not the Republican Party, it's the Trump Party. Steve points out, then explain why W has suddenly jumped on board to save the orange feces. It is and always has been the Republican Party, and the very worst of the worst of the worst are carryovers from the reign of error. So, you know, we've got a week to sit around and see if we're going to be able to find out what the hell happened or happens with the FBI investigation. Steve, on the other hand, says maybe this is why they're delaying by a week. This week gives them time to see how this week's debacle will affect the midterms. If by voting not to confirm will help them keep the Senate, they will not confirm him. If by voting not to confirm will make them lose the Senate, they will confirm him. If by voting to confirm will help them keep the Senate, they will confirm him. And if by voting to confirm him it makes them lose the Senate, they will not confirm him. That makes some sense. Nonetheless, Chinless Mitch is still making promises, and I don't think that man makes promises that he doesn't have vote counts on.
Favorable recommendation. Number two,
take a listen.
We will shortly move to proceed to the Kavanaugh nomination, and I'm pleased to announce that all 51 Republican members of the Senate support the motion to proceed to the nomination. 100% of the Republican conference supports proceeding to the Kavanaugh nomination. Now, in committee, they reviewed the most pages of documents ever produced pertaining to any Supreme Court nomination. Literally hundreds of judicial opinions from his tenure on the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And 5 days of hearings during which Judge Kavanaugh testified for nearly 40 hours. Judge Kavanaugh testified on every topic from complicated legal subjects to sensitive personal matters. And there was testimony and statements from countless personal friends, classmates, co-workers, former clerks, and other associates. So the picture that emerged from all this is clear. Judge Kavanaugh is one of the most qualified and most impressive Supreme Court nominees in the history of our country.
Lie. But then again, that's what he does.
He's excelled at the highest levels of legal scholarship. He holds 2 degrees from Yale and for years has lectured at the Harvard Law School. He's issued more than 300 legal opinions from what is widely considered the second highest court in the nation. Several have subsequently been cited in the Supreme Court's own majority opinions. Along the way, he's built an outstanding reputation within the legal community for his clear, thoughtful writing, his exemplary, fair-minded judicial temperament. Judge Kavanaugh's qualifications have been affirmed by his peers and by renowned legal scholars from across the ideological spectrum. One self-described liberal Democrat who advised him at Yale said that Judge Kavanaugh, quote, commands wide and deep respect among scholars, lawyers, and jurists. And this praise has been echoed by hundreds of character witnesses who testified before the Senate or written us letters to praise Judge Kavanaugh's personal character and his integrity in the strongest terms. The committee has also thoroughly investigated the last-minute allegations that have been brought forward. The evidence that has been produced either fails to corroborate these accusations or, in fact, supports Judge Kavanaugh's unequivocal denial. And in some cases, the accusers have even recanted their baseless allegations. All in all, this is a nominee who's received what many consider the gold standard of judicial qualification, a rating of unanimously well qualified from the American Bar Association. So this is a nomination that deserves to move forward, and that.
And of course, by the way, the American Bar Association, in case you're. They said there needs to be an investigation. Yeah, all that well-qualified bullshit. Yep. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But, you know, doesn't matter to Mitch. Because the truth doesn't matter to Mitch. Facts don't matter to Mitch. What matters to Mitch is the brute force exercise of political power to achieve the ends that his masters have dictated. Because that's the one thing we kind of forget about Chinless Mitch. Chinless Mitch is not his own man. Chinless Mitch is an owned creature. He does the bidding of his moneyed masters. And no matter the fact that he married some serious money, he does not have enough money to act independently of his master's wishes. And that's just... That's just a fact. We've got other stories that I hope we will get into during the front porch roundtable. But I thought it might be kind of fun going in there. Just to put a little bit of the lunacy up for discussion. You might recall Frank Amedia, A-M-E-D-I-A. Well, he's been doing some hardcore praying for Brett Kavanaugh. But he's kind of moved along now because, well, the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, they can never be happy just to pray for God's blessings. They're not really happy unless they're praying for God to murder somebody.
We get too mushy as Christians, and we need to realize that yes, we war against spirits and principalities and powers. But we also need to realize, Steve, that people willingly choose to be used of evil. And in this instance, Dianne Feinstein has chosen to be used of evil. Now, why am I saying her name so much? Because she's the new Queen Jezebel B, and everybody's buzzing around her, and she has made it.
We're back with the Jezebel business.
Her mandate to stop the revocation of abortion, and there's not a greater curse on this land than that right now. So how do we pray? We pray that God would move her into a heart of repentance, or God remove her. And the same thing, we need to pray and put up strong lines of defense and realize that we're not wrong when we call for justice. We pray for the souls, we bless them, and we turn them over to the Lord, but we have to do warfare in the sense that we're not going to just roll over and just believe because God's so sovereign that he's going to do everything without our work too. We're put here to be the face and voice of God right now, and as POTUS Shield, we are the shield. We said we'll be the shield, we'll be the gatekeeper. We'll be the defense, and so we're doing it. And, Steve, I think you know also the church has been a little quiet the last couple of weeks, and we want to see the church get provoked. It's because of the confusion. When you start hearing attempted rape and things, you say, oh, my, how could I ever jump into that situation? Well, you do when you know the Word of God. And if it's not established in the witness of two or three, that is a false witness.
And besides that, the Word of God makes very clear that the remedy for rape is to force the rape victim to marry the rapist. Word of God. See, this is why the whatever passes for a moral center among the white wing is just plain filthy. Witness one, Josh Bernstein.
Brett Kavanaugh is not only innocent, but he, in fact, is the victim. He is the victim here. And this is from a culture, a sexual culture that I'm about to get into, of these girls in the 80s at this Holton Arms School and Academy. And it sounds to me as if this is a situation where maybe these girls liked Brett Kavanaugh when he was a youngster, and he didn't like them for whatever reason. Maybe he could see through the type of people that they truly are. And it sounds to me as though they were jilted from Brett Kavanaugh, and now, all these years later, they're jealous of him because he's on the way to the Supreme Court, and they're still stuck in academia. I think that that could be a big part of this. Brett Kavanaugh was likely a victim, that's right, a victim of Christine Blasey Ford and her Holton Arms sexual culture. These were kids, again, of privilege and stature. They both attended the best schools, and they had access to anything and everything they wanted. If anything happened back then, 36 years ago, it's likely that Miss Ford initiated it and was the aggressor. And if she wasn't, at the very least, judging by all of the information that we now know about that school, she was a willing and consensual participant.
How's that for filthy? I mean, that is straight up blame the victim. That's past blame the victim. That's indict the victim. That's disgusting. The woman who got... Well, we know what happened. It is just it's the epitome of the white wing. Oh, and by the way, Brett Kavanaugh is now a hero to the incels. You remember, these are people who hold up as heroes, men who murder women because they feel like hot women aren't having sex with them to the degree that they deserve to be had sex with. Wow. That's not a joke. The incels are deeply misogynist, and they've decided that some of them have decided that he's their poster boy, and they're proud of him. If he did what he is alleged to have done, the incel community is proud of him for having done it. And remember, these are, of course, members of Trump's base. Yeah. David in South Carolina. Subject line, preppy boy. His arrogance and sense of entitlement irked me. He made some remark about how he would not have been hanging out with public school girls. I think the public school girl, Deborah Ramirez, worked harder and was smarter than Brett. My own daughter came from public schools of South Carolina and made all A's at Princeton last term. He does not impress me bragging about how smart he is. I doubt if he knows what real work is. That whole culture. And there's been a door opened on it, and that whole culture is revolting. And by the way, don't think for a minute that the Ivies and the elite prep schools are enjoying the attention, because it's really hurting their brand. They present themselves as bastions of academic integrity, and then it turns out they're just tawdry little spoiled children playgrounds. Now, I guess, like, your Georgetown prep, they don't have to worry that much, I guess, because, that's a place for hardcore Catholics to send their kids. As I was discussing with Agnes earlier, if you're a show up for Christmas and Easter mass kind of Catholic, one, you're probably not going to send your kid to Georgetown Prep, and you might even take seriously the allegations of rape that have completely consumed the church. But if you're a well-to-do family, say mommy's a judge and daddy's a lobbyist in D.C., and, you're a hardcore, well, you're going to send your kid to a Georgetown prep because it conveys status, and, you just kind of hope that maybe your wealth will protect your kid from getting raped by a priest. Just is what it is. Whew. But this Josh Bernstein, that's the first I've seen of him. And he is well and truly disgusting. Just disgusting. Holton Arms Academy, the Holton Arms School, as some sort of a den of predatory teenage girls. Steve in New York. Diane Feinstein as Jezebel. It can't possibly be because she's a Jew. Channeling Lewis Black. God, says Steve, I hate these people. You don't have to dig deep to find the animus that animates the entirety of the American white right wing. No. So it's 4 minutes past the hour on this Friday on the front porch. Let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, I was was just having headphone problems. I think I got them fixed. Then I got a sticky O on my keyboard.
Oh, that's lovely. I love sticky keys are always fun.
I got another keyboard in the rock shop I can go get. Might look in a little bit.
So, you still have the old version of Skype?
Yeah, I got the newest set of headphones, a Logitech with the wife Bluetooth little fob.
Yeah,
and it wasn't connecting right. You know, I couldn't hear you. And so I finally got the headphones to connect with the fob.
Good, but because last week when I did the problem, when a call comes in. That little gray box is there that says add this call. You know what I'm talking about? You know, where you can just add the call to a call that's going on. Well, on the new version of Skype, that's disappeared.
Oh, I just clicked on a person's name and then left click it like I'm doing right now and invite.
When the previous version, when I would have to do this or like bring a call in with Dr. Bill or something like that, that little gray box that when somebody called in, it would say add this to the current call. And it made things considerably simpler, so necessarily the fine folks at Microsoft had to make that go away.
Well, I haven't been on that new Skype since I put it on that one machine and I stuck it in the living room. It goes on the HD TV right now. And I only use it to watch other stuff off the computer, like movies and stuff. Or shows that we're watching on late on TV. Like when we did Yellowstone, we were able to put it on the big screen TV through an app that Paramount had, and then make, you know, no commercials, and it sounded awesome with my big sound bar in there, you know.
Yeah.
If you probably never watched it yet.
No, I haven't yet. It's on the list. For the last week, it's just been, you know, straight out of the studio and into the bleach shower.
Anyway, I was going to say, you know, I'm going to turn 67 years old next month. And I remember every woman I ever slept with until the time I met my wife. This guy knows what he did. I can't see him being that drunk.
Well, you know, there's the question of functionality at that level of intoxication, Sparky.
Well, I only got to that place really one time that I can remember, and that's from drinking tequila.
Tequila's a good way to get there. But
my roommates had to carry me in and put me my head in the toilet because I was barfing.
Yeah, not boofing.
Barfing.
Jesus, the things. That's the whole thing with this Kavanaugh nomination. You know, he gets added, as that they keep using it, the term at the last minute. We can use it too. He gets added at the last minute when it becomes obvious that Donald Trump may very well need some sort of a judge who holds the theory that presidents ought not be subject to any law at all. And all they had, you know. As was pointed out, this wasn't done to Neil Gorsuch, it wasn't done to Roberts, it wasn't done to Alito. You know, this is stuff that Brett Kavanaugh brought upon himself. He's not some sort of tragic figure who is being punished by the gods for things that he doesn't understand. But the fact of the matter is, they don't want him despite his flaws. His flaws are what makes him attractive, Sparky.
Being mean and angry.
Yeah, and spiteful and hateful.
Because I can see him with those gang of women in D.C. in 98 throwing some woman up against the wall.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's, let's see, 98, that was 20 years ago. So he's 31 years old then or so, 31, 32?
I think he said it was 34. It's right when he was doing the Judge Starr deal.
Yeah, when he was coming up with filthy questions, along about the time he was coming up with filthy questions to ask Bill Clinton. Which he thoroughly enjoyed asking, by the way. So, you know, there's that.
Did he do the deposition?
Pretty sure he did.
Oh, isn't there a video of that?
I think so. I mean, we know he definitely wrote the questions. I think he also asked them. And so that's why we got the paranoid ramblings about this was a hit put out on him by the Clintons. His Clinton derangement syndrome goes way back. You know, remember David Brock, and you know, no love lost by me for David Brock. But David,
the man who had a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was running with all that filth back in the 90s, and he talked about how one evening when Hillary Clinton Clinton's face appeared on the TV, he saw Brett Kavanaugh mouth the word bitch. So, yeah. Well, we've got a good. Looks like you pulled together a good little group this evening. Let's go around the room a little bit and check in. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
It's been a rough week for me.
I can imagine. It has been a rough. Yeah.
Wednesday, I got drunker than I've really ever been in my life, because. I had an incident within my family, and this whole thing is showing the dividing lines.
Wow.
So yeah,
sorry to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to be real honest here. When I was five, I was molested by, someone in the family that was looking out for me, or when I was basically put in the care of this one family, and it was the son. And I don't know what came of that, but the smell of curry to this day, I can't stand. And on top of that, I had the incident I called you about when I was in middle school, and that perp happened to be Mexican. And in both instances, my father came to bat for me. I want to say in the last 2-3 years, he's really gone off the deep end. And he and I came to blows this week over the whole Kavanaugh thing. So apparently, you know, as long as the perp isn't white, he's, you know,
he's
all
good
for it. But yeah. But... yeah. So I've had to come to terms with that within my own family. So when I say this has been a rough week, it's been a rough week.
Sorry to hear it. I hope you're going to be okay. All you can do is struggle through, right?
I have to make some decisions based on my own health and well-being now. So that's pretty much it. I mean, but this is really upsetting because I don't like, you know, none of these are decisions made lightly now, but there's comes a point you can't keep letting people in who hurt you like that.
That's difficult. That's rough.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wednesday from, and then see this on a national stage. It's like, this is how I'm feeling. And if social media is to be believed, there's a whole lot of other survivors out there that feel the same way.
Did you see the video of the women confronting Jeff Flake?
Yeah, I actually saw that on my TV news. I think it was CNN this morning. They were screaming in his face. And I don't think he could, I don't think he could look them in the eye. I don't know if you saw that video I sent you.
Yeah, I did.
He was looking down at the ground and they wouldn't let him close the elevator door. But he looked pretty distressed in that elevator and in the chamber. And right before the delay was announced, I think he exited the room because the vote, the final vote was supposed to be set for 1:30 and they delayed it about 20 minutes.
Yes.
He left the room with Chris Coons, my senator, and maybe another Dem senator. And Senator Grassley looked kind of put out by that. Like, he got really irritated.
Well, Chuck Grassley was, again, absolutely doggedly determined to cram this unqualified, ill-tempered brat down the throats of the American people. And he, you know, and he didn't like any interruption in that. And so, you know, he was worried and angry. And the rest of the go along, get along, Trump lick spittles, are angry too. I'm sure that Lindsey Graham is just a stomping his little foot somewhere, even as we speak.
I hope so, because he was laughing with Grassley after the whole when Grassley just abruptly ended the whole hearing.
And I know Grassley didn't like it when four Democratic members of the committee just got up and walked out on him.
They did that early. And Kamala Harris wouldn't even vote yay or no on that vote. She just kept silent, and then she got up and walked out. And then Grassley got all teed off. Something about respect for the proceedings, and can we settle down at all this other mess. I was just... But then CNN decided that during Grassley's speech and Orrin Hatch's bloviated mumblings, they were showing a sidebar of Blumenthal and Harrison Hirono were talking, but I couldn't hear what they said. I had to listen to Hatch and Grassley's speech as I was screaming at the TV then.
Don't feel bad. A lot of America's been screaming at the TV this week.
I don't know what it's going to take now, Bob. I really don't.
You know what? Just as an ancillary matter, because, you know, I sort of think things out like ripples in a pond. I said last night that I'm worried for the well-being of Kavanaugh's children, and I am, and his wife. But, you know, Rachel Mitchell is going back to Maricopa County. And I feel sorry for any victim of sexual assault, sexual abuse, who has to deal with her as a prosecutor. Because it's abundantly evident that Republican that she is far more concerned with the well-being of the accused than she is the victim.
Well, didn't she get some of the sentences reduced that were... against the Catholic priests that were...
No, it was a Mormon elder.
Oh, jeez.
It was disgusting.
Well, then I saw on social media, apparently, when she started, you know, asking questions and getting a little too close to home, that the Senate Republicans got her out of there quicker than you could... like an eyelash.
Oh, she had to go. And that was when Lindsey stepped up and threw his little fit. And that was why Lindsey threw his fit. was to for the purpose of diverting attention from the fact that they had just thrown Rachel Mitchell out because she was perilously close to walking him through a date on his calendar that could very well have been the date on which he did exactly that which he is accused of having done.
So that explains Lindsey Graham's Oscar-winning speech that he gave.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess trying to imitate Jack Nicholson in, what was that movie? With Tom Cruise and Demi Moore.
Oh, A Few Good Men.
Yeah, that one.
You can't handle the truth. Yeah.
Oh, and Lindsey Graham, there was footage of him about a rape survivor confronting him directly, saying, "I was raped." And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, call the cops," and runs away from her.
Yeah, because he doesn't give a fuck. And we seem to have forgotten what a pissant he was during the Great Cleanest Hunt. You know, those the alumni of that filthy process are scattered throughout high positions in government now, and that, you know, that tells you about, that tells you how Republicans reward their foot soldiers. Let me go around the room a little bit. By the way, I had a note from Darlene in Connecticut. Brett and all his Georgetown prep school buddies were all good little Catholic boys. They behaved like pious little altar boys to all those little prep school Catholic girls. Don't you know? I think Darlene's very, very decidedly tongue-in-cheek. And David in South Carolina says, subject line, rude. He verbally attacked and talked over every single woman on that committee except Kamala. Kamala. She makes him squirm. And that temperament, you know, that temper tantrum alone is enough to keep, it should be enough to keep anyone off the court. He does not have the temperament nor the sense of decorum that we require of occupants of seats within that institution. You there, Rick?
Yeah, hey, how are you, Bob?
Any argument with what I just said?
No, I think you're right. I think.
I mean, how often? I mean, I know we saw with the trial of Paul Manafort that right-wing judges can be howling martinets.
Right.
But generally speaking, aren't members of the federal judiciary supposed to be calm, sober, rational, and not prone to fits of pique?
Well, of course. I mean, you know damn well that Kavanaugh watched the testimony of Dr. Ford. He was probably shitting bricks. So my guess is he probably had like a little flask of vodka with him and, like, you know, downed it, you know, for a little bravery on his part.
Okay, you are not the first person, I don't mean that as an insult, you're not the first person who has suggested that that Brett was altered yesterday.
He had dry mouth like crazy. Do you see how he's like gulping the water and snorting and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was decidedly weird.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that was simple adrenaline?
I think it was a little more than that, to tell you the truth, because he was way over the top.
One person told me today, "Hey, I've seen it too many times. That guy looked coked up."
Oh, could be. That could be.
I mean, I wondered if he was. I wondered if he was buzzing along on a healthy dosage of say a decongestant.
No.
But what made it? I don't know. The thing that sort of grabbed me was, you know, there was a turning point with Amy Klobuchar.
Mm-hmm.
And after he got, if I recall the timeline correctly, after he got shitty with her, mm-hmm. all of a sudden a note on a piece of yellow legal pad paper,
mm-hmm.
canary is the color,
yeah,
gets passed to him, and next thing you know, he needs another break.
I noticed that. That was weird, the timing of that break.
And he comes back, and he is contrite.
Mm-hmm.
And apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a feeling that note, that, which I think came, probably came from Don McGahn, said, you're fucking yourself. This ain't a good look for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was just riveting that whole day. I watched I worked from home all day and watched that on TV, you know. It was, you know.
Yeah, after... I heard you call Malloy last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I called Malloy, yeah. It was a good call. So after Ford's testimony, I get on, like, Twitter and start saying, okay, is Vegas taking any odds on, you know, whether Kavanaugh's nomination is going to last the day, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, he is enough of a shit weasel that, you know, I guess I'm not that surprised that he, you know, that he came back from a two touchdown deficit or whatever it was, like I heard one of the commentators say. But, you know, he still tied the game, but it, you know, kind of left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, you know, how he went about doing it. You know, what got me is how he's like asking, you know, the senators, oh, do you like beer? What kind of beer do you like? You know, to try to deflect the question and filibuster. It's like, what an asshole, you know? You know?
No kidding.
I mean, answering a question with a question, that's about as, you know, conceited as you can get in general.
And,
you know,
he's really not a litigator, is he?
I don't think so. No.
And litigators are a different breed. They are a breed mm-hmm. apart from, say, your garden variety corporate boardroom lawyer, or even an appellate lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what kind of trial experience he's had. I doubt he's had that much. But he's really not that smart. You know? He really isn't.
You could sure tell Sheldon Wilde. House and Kamala Harris were prosecutors.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, you can, because they don't let the witnesses squirm. You know, yes or no, yes or no. I mean, I think Durbin did a good job too, as well. I think he's a former practicing attorney. But yeah, you're right, Bob. I think he's the most afraid of Kamala of all the people on the committee. You know, because she gets right to the chase there. She asks very direct, quick questions, you know. Some of the senators just talk too much, you know. You got to keep it simple, you know.
Yeah.
And start doing and rapid fire as well to try to trip them up, you know.
So they would have been smart. They would have had her do all the questions just like that gal from Arizona.
Yeah. that totally exploded in the Republicans' face. That was amazing. How stupid, you know? I mean, they were basically afraid of asking questions of the woman, you know? I mean, I think it almost came across in some ways as more patronizing to, you know, none of them said anything to Dr. Ford. But then they, of course, decided they were going to, you know, ask, you know, Kavanaugh questions, once it became clear that, you know, it would be too fair if the prosecutor kept asking the questions, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who are the Mountaineers playing this week?
As we say here in the hills, you asked me too quick. Texas Tech.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Well, why don't I let someone else talk here? It looks like we got Erwin and Chris in the room here.
Yeah, somebody said hello. Somebody wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Is that Erwin?
No, I thought it was Chris.
No, that was me. I want to make sure my speaker was still working. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay, Megan. No worries.
I wanted to ask how much of the way that he was treating the female senators and the fact that Senator Harris was making him squirm, how much of this is he's got a secret fear of powerful women?
I think you're probably right. Maybe he's afraid of his mom. You know?
That makes a lot of sense. I mean,
sorry, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This Skype sometimes is cutting out with this new connection here, Bob.
Yeah, it's cutting me out, too.
And I don't know. It's Microsoft. I mean,
I heard somebody say it wasn't his mom a prosecutor.
Yeah, she was a prosecutor, and then she became a judge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. He obviously does have a fear of powerful women, I think. He probably must be afraid of his mom. It's my guess. And his whole life's mission has been to try to impress her, maybe. You know?
Jeez.
Yeah. Never know.
Wasn't Kamala Harris a prosecutor, too, before she was a senator?
She was a prosecutor, and then she was the Attorney General of California.
Yeah.
And that's what gets a lot of people. And what she did as Attorney General is what pissed a lot of people off.
She was the attorney for City of San Francisco.
Okay.
Right, Rick?
That sounds right. I'm not. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I remember her resume.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she was. Maybe she wasn't really a prosecutor. Then I'm not sure. Maybe she tried civil cases. You know. Or misdemeanor cases, because the city attorneys do that typically. They don't try the, you know, felonies. You know, that goes with the, you know, deputy district attorneys and so forth that do those.
She began.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's maybe where you got. Yeah. She had to be in a prestigious law firm to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody's giving me a bunch of bells, Bob, and it's not cowbells.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's blowing up your phone.
15 notifications all at once.
Is that Trump with the text?
No. No, it's my pool team. Actually, speaking of pool, oh my God, I played 9-ball on Wednesday night. I probably had only had maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep the night before, but I did it because I'm still working on this brief. I'm almost done, but not quite. And so I just had to get away from it and play some pool. I made, in the course of like hitting 31 balls in for the game, probably 10 of my shots were bank shots. I was banking them, like doing like long banks. I was doing a cross bank. I was doing just a regular bank into the side pocket. It's like, oh my God, you know, what the hell? They started calling me Mr. Banks after
nice.
Before the night was over.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you been anywhere near Jefferson Airplane lately?
Not lately. I saw them a few summers ago.
Okay. Well, Marty Balin died today.
Oh.
One of the co-founders of the airplane. 76 years old.
Okay. Well, I didn't. I know why you asked. You want to know if I was somehow responsible? No.
Just wanted to make sure. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Speaking of dead rock heroes, I guess they just released earlier this week like a big box set for Tom Petty. I think called an American Classic or something like that. Like 100 and some songs, 150 songs or something, some such number.
I'm on the Heartbreakers mailing list. I saw the email for that. Probably be a great, great buy.
And Marty Balin, by the way, bailed out early on after helping to found Jefferson Airplane. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. With a name like that, you know. Sort of like flaking out, you know, like Jeff Flake, you know.
Yeah, that takes me. I mean, what do you think about Jeff Flake? Is he going to hold this whole thing up? Is there any possibility?
I don't think so. This is what's going on. I heard somebody on, one of these progressive shows. I forget his name. Is it? Forget the guy's name. He's on like Sirius XM, you know, like 127 or whatever. He's thinking that it's because Flake is going to run for president and wants to oppose Trump, but not oppose the Republican agenda. So he's like trying to assert some independence here.
Yeah, yeah. How do you do that though? I mean, where's the daylight between the two?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's like saying, oh, we're going to get the moderate Republicans together to, you know, join with the Democrats. I don't think so. It doesn't exist.
The dodo bird and the passenger pigeon.
There you go. Hey. It's worth a shot. They reanimated the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. Why can't they do that with the dodo bird, right?
And the moderate Republican.
Yeah. Got to find some amber, though, somehow.
I see an article where they found a tree kangaroo that hasn't been seen in 90 years.
Wow.
A tree kangaroo?
Yeah.
Well, it's been busy.
Nobody looked up?
Yeah. Apparently not.
I saw it on Facebook. I don't know whether it's true or not. I didn't read the article. I just thought, oh, that's weird.
It could be true. You never know. You know? So, what are your thoughts on Kavanaugh? I mean, is this one week delay going to make a difference in terms of the FBI digging up stuff and or new allegations coming forward? I mean, I just don't understand how the allegations are going to get aired out in public, you know?
Well, from I don't think I'm very cynical about this, Rick. I see it as a theater. I see it as an attempt to provide cover so that Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski can vote yes. I mean, Jeff mm-hmm. Flake's going to vote yes, okay? Jeff Flake shoots rubber-tipped arrows.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an effort to provide cover for Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin, too.
Right, right. Yeah, I think so.
So they could come back and say, hey, we did this investigation and nothing was found. Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh's clean as a whistle and move forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only way you'd ever hear an airing of the allegations is that somehow the Judiciary Committee took back the nomination. Which I suppose they could. I know during the Clarence Thomas hearings, they voted on him, even though it was an adverse vote. They decided to out of the committee, and then they decided to put it in front of the full Senate. I have no idea what the hell, you know, the Senate. One of those guys. Why send it to the Senate for a full vote? Well, just let it die in committee, you know?
Well, all I can say is they better make some FBI report public when all this is done, said and done.
Are the other ones public?
I don't know.
No. No, I don't think so. But what I think they're going to have to do, if there's any meat to these allegations, there's going to have to probably be a vote in the full Senate to return it back to the Judiciary Committee for further proceedings. You know, that's what would be required. Yeah.
Yeah, and well, the report will be returnable to the committee.
The FBI report. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But as far as like, you know, Chuck Gasbags doing anything about it. You know,
So, Rick, let me understand. So the ball is in the court of the full Senate now.
Right.
If there's an FBI report done and some of the allegations bear fruit, which if there's truly an investigation, there's no doubt there's going to be some stuff, right? I'm definitely sure there's going to be, you know, there's even some questions about some of the entries on his calendar, right? That there's some of his posse that he ran with. And were those people at the party? You know, the Timmy and so I can't remember their names, but yeah, there's some references in that calendar.
Well, you know, getting together for skis, which is a short form for brewskis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that date that's a date that shows that you know, that they're getting together at somebody's house. And if that line of inquiry had been pursued, we might, you know, it might have been hey, let's find the home address. Is that a two-story house? And that's why, you know, oh, shit. And that's why Precious Lindsay had to throw the fit so that they could quietly have the questioning stop before it could delve any more deeply into that house and that time.
That's when the prosecutor was asking Brett for an explanation of the house or what?
Well, she was asking him to go over that calendar entry. That said getting together with and three or four names for skis at Squeeze House.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So is everyone on board with the graham cracker that Fitty threw was basically trying to get the AG job after Sessions is dumped?
Well, there's that, and there's the fact that they had to get attention away from that calendar entry as quickly as they possibly could.
And there you go.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that Graham did what he did. That seemed to me like a huge risk, even with the Republicans being who they are.
Well, they had nothing to lose at that point because, you know, he was not doing so well.
When's Graham's time up in the Senate? When is he up for re-election? Does anyone know?
Is it 20 or was he up for re-election last in 2016?
No, 2020. He's up again in 2020.
Wow. Maybe good Todd can run against him.
Yeah, I think he just fired up the opponents for 2 years' time by doing that. But that's just me.
And he wants that AG job because he wants to move in and shut down Mueller. Because remember, and you know, there's so many details here that are so easy to forget. Or not forget, but lose track of.
Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, you caught. There's so many details here that are what?
There are so many details that are easy to lose track of. One of which is that Lindsay was a beneficiary of massive amounts of National Ruble Association money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
do you think he has ties to the Red Sparrow girl? What's her name?
I don't know if he's got ties to her, but he's got ties to Russian money by virtue of receiving money from the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he has a vested interest in shutting Mueller down.
That's true.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some tells me Graham's going to be out of a job come shortly.
Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah, I that brazen performance, the way he was laughing after the whole hearing was done, how he questioned Dr. Blasey Ford as opposed to Kavanaugh, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, that was, first of all, that was some bit of theater, number one. I took drama in high school. And, God. Not only that, but man, that's a huge risk. He must either really want that job, they must really have something on him for him to go all out like that. I mean, that was just, wow.
Well, but please don't just blow past the fact that they had to get away from that issue of the calendar entry as quickly as they possibly could.
So the overall appearance, basically what you're telling me, Bob, is that the Senate Republicans are acting desperate for one reason that we don't know. Or we do know, it's just not been made public.
Remember, all that blather about how more documents have been reviewed than with any other Supreme Court nominee. Well, the fact of the matter is 7% of his documents have been released to the committee. And so I don't care how many documents they've been reviewed, 93% of them haven't.
It's amazing how they lie unabashed.
And there is, I posted something on Facebook earlier pointing out that having a dry drunk, as Rhonda just suggested in an email via a caller on Tom Hartman today, who said she's a reformed alcoholic after 38 years. And she said that she saw a lot of dry drunk behavior in Kavanaugh. Having Brett Kavanaugh alcoholic on the Supreme Court would not, from a historical standpoint, be anything new. We found out late in his career that Chief Justice Rehnquist was a hopeless pill junkie.
What?
And had been for years.
Was in office.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, wasn't George W.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Supreme Court justices. Okay. So, Rehnquist was a junkie, and then you can go back to the early years of the 20th century, and there sits Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., cokehead. Now, this is the same Oliver Wendell Holmes who was in favor of forced sterilization of people with handicaps.
Yeah.
He famously gave us the line, what was it, Rick? Three generations of idiots are enough.
That's quite enough, yeah. Yeah.
I'm stuck on, they're all in these mind-altering substances. If you make, isn't there a rule or something disqualifying their decisions if they're found to be under the influence? Doesn't that call into question all of the decisions they've made on the bench, if that comes out?
No. I mean, not in the case of a Supreme Court justice, because no one has, the only remedy for a bad Supreme Court justice is to remove via impeachment. Unless they violate some criminal law and get their ass arrested.
And that happened in the early 1800s with, what, Samuel P. Chase or something like that. Since then, nobody's been removed.
Well,
from the Supreme Court.
And that impeachment failed because it was largely a political impeachment that had to do with the nature of his rulings and not any actual violation of law or anything like that.
Right.
But no, nobody can bring a rogue Supreme Court justice to heel.
I mean, the only thing he could do is he could be prosecuted for some federal or state crime, but then then Congress would still have to step in to actually remove him, impeach and remove him.
Montgomery County lawmakers signed a law saying they wanted an investigation from Montgomery County into those allegations. I don't know if anyone caught that.
Hmm. No.
Yeah, there was an article from Montgomery County lawmakers, about 11 or 12 of them, signed a letter saying they wanted an investigation. So even if they managed to get him on the SCOTUS bench, he could well face criminal charges from Montgomery County for, that's fun, and I say that very sarcastically.
I think he's more likely to face charges of perjury if the Democrats can get control of the Senate.
Jesus. Sparky just posted an article on Avenatti.
By the way, he's having a field day. It's like duck hunting for him.
reading it. I'm trying to read it now.
Don't get too high on Avenatti. The guy is not an angel. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, I don't think he is, but he's getting ready to have two witnesses
Two more witnesses come forward?
They will corroborate.
Is that
Oh, to corroborate. Okay, good.
His client's allegations against Brett Carr. That's the title of the story.
Good. Well, see, the thing with, that's the value of delay in this case, because the guy's such a shit weasel that you just have to kind of let time go. And then, that's one reason Republicans are in such a hurry, because they know there's more dirt on the guy that's going to come out. But they also want to make sure they can get somebody on the bench before, the new Congress takes over, because by then it's possible the Democrats might actually control the Senate, maybe 51 to 49 or 52 to 48, not by much, but maybe just by a bit.
Well, Lindsey kind of gave the game away during his hissy yesterday when he said, y'all sure do want power, and I hope you never get it. You know why he hopes they never get it?
Because he wants it.
No, he's got it. But if if the Democrats get power in the Senate, they will start investigating this shit. And they won't. Hmm. And he's been enough of a shitbird. They won't have any problem with the idea of exposing his bad behavior.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Didn't you hear him threaten future Dem nominees? Well,
yeah.
This is the new norm, then Dems better watch their backs. And I felt like saying, Merrick Garland, asshole.
Yeah.
Horse already left the bar.
I have amnesia about Merrick Garland. And Garland, sex assault allegations against him, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, that guy was as clean as a schoolboy, as a choir boy, to paraphrase, Bart O'Kavanaugh, come on,
I want to go back. I want to go back to the Carolinas for a second and 2020 with Precious Lindsey and everything, with the hurricanes and the cleanup and everything, and obviously it's a little shitstorm in the Carolinas. When it comes to 2020, are the Republicans going to pay a price for this, either in the state house or state senate or the senators or Congress people in those districts, if this goes badly? And we know that Republicans can't govern. We know this.
Are you talking on a federal or a state level?
I'm talking both, really. I mean, are the people in Carolina, both the Carolinas, are they going to wake up and say, hey, these Republicans, their policies kind of made this happen?
I can only go with my gut level instinct with what I've seen this past week. And it's going to fly in the face, I guess, of Bob's analysis, but my gut level will be this year, but in maybe later years, there's going to be consequences for that. Because you cannot sit there and tell half the population of this nation what you really think of them and not have something come to pass. But I don't think, I think a lot of those Senate Republicans might have their careers suddenly cut short. I don't know if it's through elections or something else, but from what I've seen, I mean, that's just my feeling, because too many sex assault survivors out there that have just been absolutely gutted to this week. And yeah, that's just my two cents.
Well, I hope you're right.
A lot of Republicans up for re-election in 2020.
That's good.
That may be the watershed year. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the Dems fell asleep in 2010, and look what's happened. I mean, it's been a lost decade. Can't have that again.
No, and if this isn't enough to wake people up, like I said, I don't know what will.
Exactly.
Mitch McConnell gets it. Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, he'll probably say adios right into the sunset of 2020.
His work will be done.
Yeah. And hey, let me bring Todd in via the stress line. Hey, Todd.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
There. Is that okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Todd, are you going to run against Graham in 2020?
Could you repeat that, please?
He wants to know, are you going to run against Lindsay in 2020?
Oh, my God. Lindsay, I don't know what happened to him. He really lost his senses. That was really a terrible diatribe by him. It was awful. I mean, it was awful. He looked crazy. I'm not trying to get too excited because I'm trying not to. But this is what I see. These folks, they see the brass ring. They're going for it. You know, they're doing the Biggie Smalls raw power move. You know, Jeff Flake already said, what in the hell was wrong with Jeff Flake? He talks a lot of trash. And then when it comes time to step up and hit the ball, he's like, I don't want to hit it.
No. I don't want to hit it.
Hey, that ball looks nice. I don't want to hit it too hard. You know, come on, man. He talks a lot of trash. You know what I was thinking today? I'm thinking he wants to run for president. That's his angle. You know, because he puts himself out there. What are we supposed to do?
If he wants to be president, he's got to differentiate himself. And this is the opportunity. Right here, right now.
I'm not sure, but I heard that he is Mormon. Jeff Flake.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So that you have to consider that with him, too. Because,
yeah, he prefers the sister wives to sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did you guys already talk about, they would be smart to make Kavanaugh withdraw, because I highly suspect that the investigations will hound this guy forever.
Yeah, but all he's got to do is get up there, and he can stop the one investigation that matters, Todd. And that's why he's been proposed.
The stink is going to follow him around his entire career. This ain't going away. This really isn't. And I have to wonder how he's... Well, like, Bob's, you said this week, how's he going to be treated in the chamber with the, three or four female justices, even if he does get in? And that's not even, you know, the female support staff?
Remember, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was heartbroken when Fat Dead Tony got to the dead part of Fat Dead Tony. Okay, I mean, it's fact. So, it would be nice. Personally, I think every decent human being in the entire country has the right to spit on the ground at the feet of Brett Kavanaugh anywhere and any time. But it's not likely to happen.
I have a question. Nope. Did anyone see, when I looked at Brett Kavanaugh, you know, today for the second time, I felt like that he was really, he felt guilty. He was crying because he was guilty, and there was nothing he could do about it.
Well, again, I'll say what I said last night. The look on his wife's face said everything.
No! I'm sorry. Bob, I'm so glad you... Look, over his left shoulder, if you're looking at the television or the screen, whatever, I watched this a lot of times. I'm in the body language. When certain things that Kavanaugh had, Mr. Kavanaugh had to, Judge Kavanaugh had to go into. You could see her whole chest. She was like, deep breath. And, I mean, her eyes just sank and her mouth was, all her body language was, I really, see, you got to understand, a lot of Catholic folk, so now we've seen what we see about Brent Kavanaugh. He's probably been lying to his wife for years. Like, yeah, I was a virgin. Because you got to understand, there's a lot of Catholic women out here that, I had friends like that. I grew up with people like that. Irish Catholic people, okay? They expect that. They expect you to be a virgin. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. See? And he probably wanted a wife that he could, you know, dominate. You know? And so he's been lying to her all these years. You could see it in her face. I'm just putting it out there. What does anybody else say?
She had a look of looking at him like, yeah, I know you're full of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Who is this?
I mean,
please?
That was... Well, that and the photo being passed around, Todd, is not only of his wife, but there were like four or five other women sitting up front just behind him. And when he was having his screaming, crying fit, the way that they were all looking at him, it was like, holy crap. Oh, my God, that was priceless.
It was. I'm sorry, but I didn't get your name.
This is Megan.
Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Todd.
I didn't recognize your voice. Yes. Well, and I want, if Steve is listening, I don't know if Steve and George are staying. You know,
oh, Steve went to the Kansas concert tonight.
Oh, good for him.
No way. Kansas, like when I was a kid, Kansas?
Yeah, Carry On Wayward Son, Miracles Out of Nowhere, Dust in the Wind.
Carry On Wayward.
Yeah.
Wow.
Glad to know somebody else is singing besides me for a change.
So Bob, I heard you played the video of Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
That was perfect.
Oh, when I saw that, I'm like, is that the one I sent you? Or did you see it before I sent it to you?
I'd seen it before you sent it.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? That was so good. Let's do that again.
Oh, let's do it again.
Yeah, let's.
Just
hi, Tracy.
Hi, Todd.
Just in case anybody missed this, because this is. It's a mashup from yesterday's hearing and Pulp Fiction. And it is for the ages. Here we go.
Now let me take a wild guess here. You're Brett, right?
Correct.
I thought so.
I got into Yale Law School.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
That's the number one law school in the country.
You're a smart motherfucker. That's right.
I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. Did you have it?
Beer. I still like beer.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Sometimes I had too many beers, but I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out, and I never sexually assaulted
yes,
anyone.
Yes, you did! Yes, you did, Brett!
He is warm, friendly, unassuming. He's the nicest person.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
You gotta see the video. You gotta see the video because...
Check out the big brain on Brett.
I think Samuel Atwood would approve of that mashup for sure.
Oh, my God.
I really wish Samuel Jackson had been on that panel this week.
I wish Al Franken. How about Al Franken if he was on that panel? No, how about Madea?
Do you do a credible Madea, Tracy?
No, I do not. I wish I did. you know. My best friend does. She has Madea down. The only thing I can do is hello.
Hello.
That's about it.
Yeah, everybody hello. Does hello.
I can do hello. But there was, I think, I'm trying to figure out, remember if he did a Saturday Night Live or something, and he played the press secretary as Madea. Woo! It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
Bob, no. Everybody have a question.
What's that?
Did folks see Kavanaugh? In other words, what I was always under the impression that when you're under, like, oath at a hearing in front of Congress, really, you're supposed to answer yes and no. I mean, I always thought that was really, like, the rule.
Oh, they never do.
I thought that, too.
No, no. Yes or no questions are, should be, but that's out the window.
Okay.
What they have to do under oath is answer truthfully.
Okay, so we'll move past that time. Okay. So, let's move on. So my point now is that this guy, I have to agree with some of these talking heads. Now, in other words, now not only do we know he's a perjurer, but his demeanor, everything about him is, like, wrong. He's not a good fit. Like, HR would say, you know, human resources, I'm sorry, sir, you're not a good fit. You know?
Yeah, but Todd.
Yeah, and then they use that other phrase, we're going to go in a different direction.
I just had a brain fart. What about Maxine Waters questioning him? Reclaiming my time.
What about the woman in Texas, the representative with the cowboy hat? I forget her name.
Oh, she's from Florida.
She's from Florida? Oh, she's from Texas.
Yeah. No.
It was kind of interesting. Everybody was waiting with bated breath for Kamala Harris's cross-examination yesterday. And it was kind of an anticlimax. And I think that was because they didn't think they needed to bear down on him anymore because he had already done himself enough damage.
Yeah, but Mazie Hirono really cracked the whip, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She did. So did Durbin.
Oh, yeah.
Durbin reminded me of a minister. Son, don't you want to come to Jesus? Confession's good for the soul, son. Right here, right now, with Jesus and God and everybody watching, just confess, son. You'll feel so much better when you do.
I had to admire Klobuchar's restraint, though, man. I think I would have just reached over that bench and grabbed his throat had he talked that way to me. Man, that was. That's why they had to make a break.
I like that, Megan. I like that. I think Megan, you should have been in charge.
Oh, they lock him in with me for 5 minutes. He thought he was crying at the beginning of that hearing. He won't be. He'll be downright hysterical when he leaves that room. I've been dealing with many of him, his kind, growing up. And all it's going to take is, they're really cowards at heart. I'm not even joking with you.
And by the way, just had a note in from Matt in San Francisco. Bob, I can say after 30 years in recovery, we alcoholics still require more liquid intake than non-alcoholics. There are many a study to back this fact. Even when sober, we drink more water, soda, etc. I did not see his complete testimony, but that kind of temper, the constant reaching for the water, the conspiracy theories he espoused, it all fits. To me, the part that bothers me more than all the theater, though, is his lying during his testimony. He has no problem with committing perjury. For me, that is enough to say, no, you can't be a judge on the highest court in the land. However, says Matt, I fear he will be. And I do, too. Like I said, it's no reason to let up. But this is, you know, they are engaged in a naked exercise of blunt force power.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if they perceive any sign of weakness, they will go for the jugular.
Well, look at Kavanaugh's, look at the ruddiness of his cheeks and his nose. Look at that.
Well, yeah, and that's something Darlene just said by note a moment ago. I didn't see any tears streaming down Kavanaugh's face. His face and eyes looked as pasty white and dry as bones to me.
Yeah, I saw crocodile tears, or at least I didn't see them, rather. And then he sort of snorted and kind of contorted his nose and his mouth, you know, like to try to show the emotion, like he was overdoing it, you know.
The angry possum look.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I watched it with the sound off just to watch his facial expressions because I couldn't stand listening to him.
God. I'm surprised he didn't just, you know, hiss at the members of the Senate that were questioning him. I mean, what was even that? There are times that he was just incoherent. Like, dude, are you making sense or are you just rambling?
Did anyone catch the part right before his testimony when, at the very beginning, when Brett Kavanaugh was describing what he had to go through to do this testimony? And the way he described it, he was like, "Oh, I had to go to the track and the, you know, sweat things out." And the way he described it, like folks are saying, if you're a heavy drinker or whatever, like I'm a heavy drinker, I know what it's like. You know, you got to keep yourself in check. And that's what he was saying. I had to sweat this out. They were telling me he was saying that I had to sweat this stuff out because I'm going to be on the grill for, because that, you know, that's a long time to sit in, you know, a steady place when you're used to dictating whatever you do, you know, because remember, he came from a cushy job. He didn't have to really report to anybody. He could do whatever he wanted to do, you know, and it's obvious when you look at his face. Look at his face. This guy, he's never really addressed.
Yeah, but Todd, I tell you what, there was a moment, and you being trained in that discipline might be helpful here. When they asked him straight up, did you assault Dr. Ford, and he nodded yes and said no?
Yes.
Did you catch that?
His body language.
What a tell. Yeah.
And the other tell, when he obliquely turned away and slouched back into his chair when he answered the question, what do you consider to be drunk, whatever the chart says.
I was outraged. That's when it stuck right. I was outraged. Sorry, I'm yelling. I was outraged. And that was not that was the beginning. His body, you know, this is not a person that can be on the Supreme Court. Come on.
I'm surprised he made it to the federal judgeship. Good God.
He's lucky. Listen, the way I look at it, he is very fortunate to even retain the position that he has right now. He should have kept his head down. You know, he's in too deep now, and he knows it. And he knows it. He knows. He knows what these people are saying about him. And look how he acts. Look at him under pressure. Look how this man acts.
He's been able to shield himself through all this crap for 53 years, and now the shell is cracking wide open.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to remember that when he was trying to become a appeals court judge, his nomination was held up by the Democrats, I think, for like 3 years or something like that, because they didn't think he was qualified, and they thought he was just a shit weasel, a political operative, which he's actually ended up being, you know.
Well, he proved
he's
himself.
A hatchet man.
He is.
He was Ken Lay. It was not Ken Lay. What was his name?
Ken Starr.
Ken Starr. The Star Chamber.
His boy. That's what he was.
Well, you know, as I was watching that yesterday, and he, you know, within how many minutes did he before he started going off, and yet and still, how long was Hillary Clinton under questioning during Benghazi?
13 hours.
11 hours.
13 hours.
And didn't crack once.
Damn.
In fact, he looked bored. She was looking at him like, really, guys, that's the best you got?
Is that the best you got?
Exactly. He got 20 minutes in, he was crying, and then did he just, like, take him all of 5 minutes to go into the nut wing conspiracy theories about the Clintons with and the Clintons all together? I was like, Lord. It didn't take him long to get there at all.
He was playing the Alex Jones card.
I firmly believe this. You see, the reason that Mr. Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, started crying, and it started, you know, around the first interview, is the fact that he really does feel bad about what he's done. And there's nothing he can do about it. And he feels sorry he's been outed. And like I said before, you know, he got the little cast.
I think this is the first time he's had to face consequences, Todd. And I
think this is the first time. I'm telling you, I've gone to school with people like this, like a little upper, more echelon than him. You know, folks, kids who know they'll never have to work, they behave differently. And I've been around these type of people. And I don't know about you guys. I've been in one touch further around breed.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Well,
go ahead, Erwin.
Has anyone had anyone from high school like talk about? Because remember, this is not just about the elite. This is about, remember, elite in small towns like where I live now, and you know, it happens everywhere. The football players, they're the elite in a small town. They're the celebrities, and they're allowed to get away with a lot of stuff. You know, look at those cases in Ohio.
Well, did you read the Washington Post story about the rape from 20 years ago where a woman was literally tormented out of town after she got raped in Fort Worth? Arlington, Texas. It's worth looking up. It is a heartbreaking story.
I think that Kavanaugh's just very, very emotionally immature. You know, he acts like an adolescent still, and the guy's 50 years old. Trump is emotionally immature too. So I guess the guy just came out with the book. He's done, he did George W. Bush on the couch, and he did Obama on the couch, and now he did what's his name on the couch. And he says that the guy in the Oval Office is needing us to parent him. Otherwise, he's so immature, and he's just messing everybody's minds up because he's so needy and dysfunctional. And so, of course, there's all kinds of diagnosis on him from different people, but I thought that was kind of interesting to hear because
he's definitely a malignant narcissist.
Yeah.
Erwin, just look at the way when he was doing those signing the executive orders and all that kind of stuff. He hasn't had a chance to sign shit in a long time. The fridge art was probably really stale. But I mean, that just goes to the emotional immaturity of the guy, right? Mommy, look what I did, you know?
Well, wasn't he passing out, like, maps of his electoral college victory very early on in his term?
Yeah.
Good God.
Like, it was a second grade, you know, spelling test, you know. It was unbelievable. The guy it's crazy.
Hello, Megan?
Yeah?
Who do you think is really running the country?
Oh, Lord.
The Illuminati. I thought it was your turn, Todd.
Oh, by the way, just from the Department of Funny, I had a note from Michael and Madison a little bit ago. Subject line, the boof. Oh, shit. Y'all just gave me a great idea. Any Saturday Night Live writers in the Horn audience? If so, please make my writer's fee check out directly to the horn. Precious Lindsay, grandstanding. Senators, you want the booth. You can't handle the booth. You can't handle the booth.
Yeah, when is SNL started up their new season yet? Because now would be the time.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, that's my God. Fucking great.
Where's the booth? Right about now. This weekend,
little gray-haired lady. Where's the booth? Get her doggy style. Where's the booth?
Yeah, and going back to the issue of the cross examination, David in South Carolina points out Kamala Harris reduces the questions to yes or no answers and won't let him off the hook. That's the mark of a good prosecutor, isn't it? Isn't it, Billable Rick? You ask questions on cross that lead to an answer that you want. I mean, that's how. But you don't ask open-ended questions because it gives them an opportunity to. It gives the witness an opportunity to dodge and divert.
I don't know if you can hear me, but
I hear
you. I agree with Dave. I think that Billable Rick is probably indisposed temporarily. But yeah, everybody knows that. And a good attorney, you always only ask a question you already know the answer to, number one. Number two, if you're going to break them down or build them up, okay, with a question.
I stepped out, Todd. I heard my name. What's up?
No, I was just saying, you know.
In Carolina.
The mark.
Premieres tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Wait,
okay, cool.
Wait, David, stop calling. Listen, yo, man, they don't understand. These insects, I can't sit on my goddamn front porch. The fucking insects, they're huge. They're like Jurassic Park fucking shit. When you hit a mosquito, it has weight to it now. Weight. A mosquito is supposed to be a light, fluffy object. No. These mosquitoes have weight to them. They attack you. Mosquitoes, flies, hornets, yellow jackets.
Mosquitoes have snout.
They're probably feeding on the pig shit, I bet.
Oh, God. So, there's no joke, man. I'm telling you, because these little towns, what happens is that they drive all the insects and animals away from the cities. So, like, places where I live, they got no place to go. This is where they are. It's like I have to cook. It's awful. All right, I had to get it off my chest. It's terrible. You have no idea. It's terrible.
Well, mosquitoes breed in water, and y'all are flooded, so they're just having a whale of a time breeding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ugh.
Dear. God almighty. I didn't mind. Okay, I'm sorry.
Some kids write a horror movie about the animals coming out with all the talk of radioactive waste and the mosquitoes and that storm and, you know, I mean, heck, we got, like, what, 5 movies about sharks and tornadoes?
Yeah, I'd say it's time for like a movie about a insect shark or something. I don't know. that comes in the aftermath of a hurricane.
The pig poop monster.
Oh, and by the way, as touching upon the question of Kavanaugh's status as a dry drunk, Brother Deacon Asa reminds us, based on his testimony, it's impossible that Brat Kavanaugh is a dry drunk. He repeated several times, mind you, that he liked beer, he drank beer, he still likes and drinks beer. He was very clear about that.
I'm surprised somebody didn't say, well, actually, Judge, I prefer Moscow mules to beer, so, you know, hey, whatever.
Whoa.
You
know?
isn't the right wing going to go
off? Wait, Moscow Mule, isn't that Lindsay's name on Grindr?
Oh. Okay. What's in a Moscow Mule?
It's a vodka based drink. It's got vodka, about a third vodka, about a third ginger beer, and you throw a little bit. You throw some lime juice in it, and then some bitters on top, and that's it. It's really very refreshing.
And you have to serve it in a copper cup.
Copper cup.
Lots of ice.
Okay, you guys, so I because I still have no, I don't know what a devil's triangle is.
Oh,
but...
I heard about it.
Oh, God, Tracy.
Wait. So apparently, there's an article about it on Wikipedia, how they tried to edit Wikipedia for Devil's Triangle and add what he did, you know, a drinking game by Brett Kavanaugh, and they're saying on Wikipedia, don't do that anymore.
Wow.
Devil's Triangle, it was apparently it was edited by somebody anonymously from U.S. House of Representatives.
Oh.
And they're like, it says, what remains on Wikipedia now is a list of other Devil Triangles, including an NCIS episode, a primitive radio God song, and a sexual arrangement, which is definitely not what Kavanaugh was referring to in his title.
Oh, yes.
And it says, do not add the hoax about a drinking game, especially as related by Brett Kavanaugh.
I'm not aware of any drinking game where you have like three shot glasses that you try to bounce a quarter into. You have one that you try to hit. Sorry, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was called beer pong or is it something else?
Well, beer pong. That too. Beer pong involves beer a ping pong ball.
Ping pong ball.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. So that's the one on the ping pong table. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there was an old cigarette game back in the day where you put a tissue over a cup and then you burn holes in it to see who would went with your cigarette. You got a quarter or a dime on it, and whoever made the dime go in, the other guy lost.
Never heard of that one, Sparky.
Oh, wow, I haven't heard that one either.
Oh my God!
That's how old I am.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, wait a minute! Wait a minute! We've got a momentous occurrence here. I'm gonna like get a plaque or something. I just had a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line: Grinder. That Moscow Mule comment. I grant you an honorary membership in the gay community.
Is that you, Bob? That's you, right?
Well, I actually have some good news that is giving me hope. So yesterday, when I was home, I had a trip that I had to pick up these kids and drive them from Simi Valley to Griffith Park, which is it was about a 30-45 minute drive. And I was listening to the hearings, and they're like, what's going on, you know, very engaged. And I was there, you know, kind of explaining what was going on my way back, because by the time I picked them up, you know, the hearing was over, and the first when I got in the cab, the first things out of their mouth was, what happened with the hearing, right? And I told them about, you know, what happened, and actually there was some recaps going on the radio, and they were just like, oh my God. You know, they were going on about Trump. They were going on. Now, these were 16-year-olds, okay? And they were like, you know, something needs to be done. How dare they treat this woman this way? On and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, when I was 16 years old, I had no idea what was going on in politics. Reagan was president. And let's see, I was 16 in 82. So, yeah, Reagan was president. I had no idea, no clue about the country, about politics, or anything like that. These kids are engaged. They are paying attention. What excited me even more did I realize that they're 16 now, and I said, how old will you guys be 18 by 2020? I mean, when in 2020 will you guys be 18? And all of them were going to be 18 in time to vote.
Yay.
Wow.
Hey, my minion who's in the 7th grade thinks Donald Trump is a dick.
Exactly.
Why are the kids smarter than the adults? I'm trying to figure that out. I'm at a loss here. Tracy, were they the same age as the kids out of Florida that are trying to do the gun safety?
Oh, speaking of the kids out of Florida, I don't know if you caught it, but Fred Gutenberg burnt Brett to the goddamn ground today. After hearing Well, after hearing Brett piss and moan and whine about how his life had been ruined, Fred Gutenberg tweeted today, "Justice Kavanaugh, your life and family are not ruined. Try having a child murdered by a weapon that you refer to as common use.
Wow.
You will get through this and hug both your children tonight."
Wow. You know, is that the same that Kavanaugh basically turned his back on? Wouldn't
that's
shake
the
his
same
hand?
Guy that he turned his back on, yeah.
Wow.
Oh. I have a question.
Yeah, Todd.
For everyone. So, I had the opportunity to listen to most of Brett Kavanaugh's testimony. You know, he seems vindictive and angry, and I just don't see, if he gets through this, I don't see how he can be an effective and impartial, like, justice. That's the whole point, is to be impartial. And I just, I think he has issues to work through. I don't see it. What do other people think?
Has Thomas really ever worked through his issues? Yep. Has Thomas ever worked through his issues? Truth be told, for 27
Who
years?
Who knows? Does the guy even open his mouth? I don't think I've heard him talk since 1991.
Who?
Thomas.
He's like a terrible liar. He's like the worst liar. He's almost as bad as Giuliani in terms of lying. I don't understand it. And see folks like this, he's going to get through. They're going to push him through. They're going to do the raw Biggie Small power move. They're going to push
absolutely
him through.
Absolutely.
I got to interject again with my gut level feeling. I don't know if he's going to get in or if he's just going to be buried under criminal charges. That's just my instinct. And I don't know if that's part of my history, just begging, you know, can't see what's going to happen, but that's just a feeling of mine. How can he get on the SCOTUS with this much black cloud hanging over him?
Because Republicans.
They genuinely believe that this is just going to go away. Because I don't see it going away. I really don't.
I listen very closely, and the really hardcore Democrats, the procedural folks, they're not giving up on this. When this guy gets, he's going to be a mess because he will be impeached. He's going to be impeached because we're going to have the House. They're going to push him through, but he's going to put his family and the country through a whole lot of crap because he will not withdraw. You know,
he's stubborn like that. And despite what you're seeing now, D.C. is a primarily Democratic city, and so is the surrounding cities. And if you thought the indignation because Sarah Sanders Huckabee was, denied a hamburger at a restaurant, this man gets in the SCOTUS, he starts walking around D.C., I can guarantee you that his reception is going to be a very cold one.
He won't be able to leave his house, will he?
No.
Well, he's already on the D.C. circuit.
Yeah, but now he's
too notorious, Bob. There's too much stink around him now.
And wait a minute. Now that we have everybody together, I'm really kind of irritated. We're not hearing enough about, okay, this is my point. With this sexual stuff, we're missing the point with this, I think, a lot of folks. We're never going to be approved. I'm pretty sure he did it, but we have to go with stuff we can prove. You can prove numbers. It's binary. Yes or no. Did you have the money or did you not have the money? All right. Did you lie or did you not lie? See, this money thing, his money, he's a bought and paid for judge on the Supreme Court. That's disgusting. That's the worst. That's the worst possible thing in this country ever. Period. That's like next to a compromised president, which we already have. You know, my God.
guy. What's next? The alien? What? I mean, come on.
Well, Taj, you know, you bring up a really good point there about his finances, because the numbers don't add up where he should be have that $1 million house. I mean, the numbers aren't there. So where is that money coming from?
Yeah, he's getting paid off, but it's for some quarter. God.
I listened to Daily Coast and it was really laid out very plainly. And then I did the research. I was like, wow. No, there's no way in hell. All of a sudden, his debt, 200, let's say, I'm going to round it off, 500,000 or less of debt just disappeared quickly before he was in the running. And, you know, that's what you got to do. Like, okay.
And remember, in other words, remember, his daddy was a lobbyist in D.C. and probably has a lot of chits. That's just one possibility.
Yeah, they get the big bucks.
By the way, I had a note from Dave from Talibandiana. Hey, folks, it might be interesting to note that the Jesuits in the United States who have supported Kavanaugh have openly withdrawn their support, calling for an investigation. How bad do you have to be when the Catholic Church looks better than you do? Signed, your buddy Dave. A recovering Catholic.
Yeah, the American Bar.
But see,
right at the same time.
The thing is, dear old Yale is being dragged through the mud with and by Brett.
And they're having sit-down protests on campus as a result.
Amazing.
The students are up in arms about this. I don't know if anyone knows that.
Oh, by the way, Todd.
Oh, yeah, we enjoy it.
Hey, Todd, you got a note back from David in South Carolina, subject line test flights. I took a mosquito out for a test flight. It's like riding on a shark. Oh, and I just saw this.
I was going to mention something about Tesla. I hear the shares hit 420 today, Bob.
Oh, did they?
No.
Time to celebrate.
Headline over at Daily Coast. Former Kavanaugh drinking buddy claims he lied about his alcohol use in hearing.
Damn right he did. He's still a fucking drunk. Look at him.
Here's the body of the
people are going to come out of the woodwork all week.
Some dare call it perjury. I went to the University of Wisconsin in the early 80s, around the same time the famously weak-stomached Brett Kavanaugh was painting New Haven orange with his vomit. And if there had been a popular drinking game called the Devil's Triangle, I would have known about it, because it was the University of Wisconsin in the early 80s, and if I recall correctly, the vast majority of us took drinking for college credit. But some of us drank and still managed to treat others with respect. Some didn't. And everything I've heard about Brett Kavanaugh jives with what I know about the entitled asshole frat boy ethic of the time. But don't take my word for it. Listen to someone who was right there by his side. This is from ABC News. Hours after the Senate judiciary hearing ended on Thursday, Lynn Brooks told ABC News' Cameron Harrison that she frequently drank to excess with Kavanaugh. We were in the same social circles, she said. When he would drink, he would get obnoxious. Brooks told Harrison that Kavanaugh mischaracterized himself during the hearing on Thursday, at which Christine Blasey Ford also spoke. Brooks said she was frustrated listening to Kavanaugh's comments on Thursday and that he dodged too many questions, emphasizing that hard partying and succeeding in the classroom or athletically were mutually exclusive. He was trying to portray that it's one or the other, and at Yale there are many people for which it was both. I played two sports. I got good grades. I went to Wharton. And I drank in excess many nights with Brett Kavanaugh. Brooks later described a time when she saw Kavanaugh on the library green as a fraternity pledge. From something I witnessed personally, she added, I find it very hard to imagine that he never blacked out or had memory problems.
Yeah, that's complete bullshit.
And going back to the remark that Matt made a little bit ago about being in recovery, the thing that differentiates someone who is in recovery and working the steps from someone who is still active is that one of those steps requires a searching inventory of one's behavior. And a Brett Kavanaugh, still active, still drinking, has made no such searching inquiry. You have to dig around to try to figure out what you can't remember. And
I
then,
think he's holding on to his memory loss and using that to defend his so-called innocence. That's what I saw in his hearing. I think he's hanging on to some flimsy excuse that if he doesn't remember it, that it didn't happen. And that was the source of all his defensiveness on that hearing.
Yeah, but Megan, I'm sorry, I would expect him to have gone on that defense, right? But really, he categorically denied he was there, right? So he did.
Yeah, memory loss. Didn't, he doesn't even...
Yeah, and if you can't remember it, that's another way of saying it didn't happen.
Yep.
Just had a note from our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest. Subject line, Kavanaugh's wife. Having computer problems, Jude says, but still able to listen to you via Alexa. Odd, but it works. You know, that's kind of cool. Alexa, play Bob Kincaid. God, I wonder how many speakers I just fucked up. but Jude says, one of the most disturbing among many was observing Kavanaugh's wife. Her countenance appears frozen, with eyes almost lifeless. It spoke to me of one who is abused. When he mentioned the prayer they had engaged in, and one of his young daughters wanted to pray for the woman, her face was as if she was pierced sharply as she turned and lowered her head. Peace to her. Jude is one of the most perceptive and empathic people I have ever known, and her perceptions of something like that I take to heart. I thought it was clear to me through watching her in the hearing that she was she wasn't looking in disgust at the members of the panel. She wasn't looking disgustedly at say, Senator Feinstein or Senator Durbin or Senator Blumenthal or Senator Leahy. She was looking disgustedly at her husband.
And there's no question. There's not going to be any Nookums in the Kavanaugh household for a long time.
I mean, she looked like, you know, did you see her expression as she was walking into the hearing room initially? She looked like she was dead. Her expression, just the, you know, ashen face.
Yeah, but no sooner did she sit down than that expression changed. I mean,
anger or what?
Like I said, disgust.
I know you're full of bullshit, yeah. Is how I put it. She was looking straight at him saying, I know every word you're saying is a lie, and I know you're bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, where was that white power lady, the brunette, the former law clerk?
She was right there behind him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the attorney for Dr. Ford was sitting there conspicuously? Kavanaugh, but within the line of sight of the cameras.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Both of them were there.
Yeah, well, you could especially see him because he had a good view. So I was watching his expression.
Yeah, the gal was sitting a couple chairs over from her.
Okay, but it was hard to tell what he was. The beard to cover up the smile, you know?
hey, Bob and everybody.
Yeah.
I was taking in what the past few topics you just talked about in terms of the body language of Kavanaugh and his wife. And I was definitely too, see, because I watched it in different venues in different ways. And when I got to the high definition, when I was able to look at it in high definition, you could see
when they started talking about the sexual stuff and the heavy drinking, her chest, you can see her breathe, she sighed, all right? And her mouth went sour. Her whole body language, oh, she's very hurt. And like you said, she's riveted toward him. You look at her, she is like, boom, it's like a laser beam toward him. That's what she's looking at, you know? That. Why is he dragging her through this? He's selfish. Like I said before,
He needs them here. There's Todd. There's always cui bono. Who benefits? What is the salary of a circuit court judge versus the salary of a member of the Supreme Court?
It's probably not
that much, to tell you the truth.
Go ahead.
But you probably get more perks as a justice as opposed to just being a judge. You know?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the size of the bodyguards that Chris Ford had?
Oh,
they weren't very big.
I didn't notice those.
Kavanaugh seemed a lot bigger.
I didn't see any bodyguards. Well, he's got the Capitol Police, but
yeah,
those guys look like ex-football players or something.
Oh, they probably are.
Is that
former lineman? You know,
Tracy Ford's bodyguards, Tracy.
I didn't even see the bodyguards.
Oh, they're two of the biggest, baddest looking black guys you've ever seen.
Oh, that's awesome.
I hope she gets her GoFundMe to work. She was saying she was having.
That's up to $700K.
Yeah, there's.
I just saw an article.
Yeah, there's $700,000 been raised for her.
I'm sure that's enough.
Didn't they try to make something of that yesterday during the.
Yeah, they did, Tracy. They tried to make that something that made it. They tried to create the impression that she was being paid for her testimony.
But the lawyers were doing it pro bono.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, if given that we're talking about the extremely violent white wing, she's probably going to need that bodyguard protection, that security detail, for a very, very long time.
Jesus.
And that is sad, but damn, it's true.
That's a sad state of affairs. I mean, that's where we're at as a country, as a society. I mean, that's where we're at.
That's what bothers me right there.
And by the way,
to go back to her home.
Yeah. And by the way, Michael and Madison's been knocking it out of the park lately. I saw y'all saw that story about how Dunkin' Donuts is dropping the donuts and they're just going to be Dunkin'.
What?
Michael said, Dunkin' dropped the donuts out of their name because they were afraid that Brett Kavanaugh would try to stick his dick in it.
What's he gonna call that? The circular triangle or something like that?
I don't know. The devil's crawler. The devil's cream horn.
You'd have to beat Trump first, though.
And then Michael added a little bit ago. You know, I'm sure Dahmer was considered well qualified for his job at the chocolate factory before the cops found human heads in his fridge.
What was it? There was a joke. I think it might have been Malloy that said, maybe I can't remember where I heard it, but you know, there were 65 women that signed a letter saying that Kavanaugh didn't rape them, and it's like. Well, yeah, same thing with Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm sure there were 65 people that weren't eaten by him. Yeah.
Jesus.
By the way, Darlene
got away with not when they met Jeffrey Dahmer.
What's that?
What was that, Sparky?
I said people actually got away from him when they met Jeffrey Dahmer.
They did get away.
Isn't that how he eventually got caught?
Yeah. I think he was attacking a young, like a teenage boy who was like half dressed and, you know,
fled.
Managed to escape and got help basically.
By the way, Megan, you're getting some affirmation from Darlene. Darlene says Megan is dead on about Kavanaugh using memory loss as his way of denying that he wasn't there and the sexual assault. Megan is dead on about Kavanaugh using memory loss as his way of denying that he wasn't there and the sexual assault of Dr. Ford didn't happen. My sense exactly as well. If you're suffering from alcohol-induced memory loss, then you're not there in a cognitive sense, and such didn't happen. Kavanaugh is so full of himself and so narcissistic that if he didn't see it, it simply could not have occurred.
Yeah, he was way too defensive. Way.
Anybody see the meme on, I think I saw it on Facebook, where Clarice, you know, from Silence of the Lambs is knocking on the door of Mark Judge, has her ID out.
Well, you know, that occurred, and I put something on Twitter about that yesterday. That occurred to me when she was talking about how she could still still remember his laughing. You know, that's the functional equivalent of can you still hear the lambs, Clarice?
That's probably what made the meme come out, was the laughter thing.
I have a question.
Yes, Todd.
Do you remember when, maybe you guys talked about this earlier, but when Kavanaugh was being questioned by Congressperson Klobuchar, and he responded, well, do you know, just in a belligerent way back to her, that was just unbelievably inappropriate. And this person, Kavanaugh, not only is a lawyer, but a judge, all right? And he's talking that way to a woman. In addition to talking about an issue that he probably has, which is alcohol abuse. And he's talking shit to her, and it's just very painful to see. And I'm telling you, the Civil War is here. This is absolutely, because they're living through this guy just like they're living through Trump. And he is totally inappropriate. He has no business on that damn bench, and he's going to be there.
Todd, that reaction was one of an alcoholic. There's no two ways about it. No two ways.
Yeah, there's always denial with alcoholic. I mean, it's never is there an alcoholic who thinks they're an alcoholic until it kicks them in the face or in the head eventually, and they have to realize it. So that's kind of the way he's headed, I think. So I guess I was kind of put off with him throwing his drinking buddy under the bus, so Weasley, you know. It was just,
oh,
I mean, that was you know, that was terrible. I thought, even if he is a terrible person, at least he's trying to do something about his alcoholism, you know.
Well, okay. he's just a wimp. He can't handle drinking. That's his problem. Mark Judge, I mean, come on, you know. It's like,
yeah,
what, you're going to go into rehabilitation? Come on, man up, you know. You should be tougher than that.
Quitter. You know? Well, that would be really interesting if they could drag Mike Judge. Maybe he'll want to testify if he gets thrown under the bus like that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on through his head.
Well, I think he's a pretty reprehensible human being. He has he has a bunch of pictures of, like, you know, scantily clad girls on all his social media.
Oh, yeah.
He's a perv.
Yeah, he goes around snapping randoms of cute young girls.
Yeah.
That he doesn't even necessarily know. Just had a note. Had a note from Earther. Kavanaugh not afraid of strong women. Not necessarily. I think it's worse. I think he's just one of the most self-entitled people out there, and he's truly a misogynist. In his mind, he's the most important person in the room, and women are meant to be used, and if they're dumb enough to let him, it's their fault. Jesus. By the way, Mike in Cascadia lets us know the mowing's done. nice work. I got a photo, too. Nice work, Mike. That's gorgeous. And the colors are coming to the Great Northwest, too. That's a beautiful tree going from green to gold to red right now. Mike says, hey, Bob, Clarence Thomas replaced Thurgood Marshall. Can you speak to the symbolic meaning of replacing Thurgood Marshall with Clarence Thomas? And then, now the symbolic or real meaning of appointing a legit sexual assaulter to the Supreme Court? Well, the first thing, that was a very clear signal being sent on Clarence Thomas that we weren't going to have any more uppity civil rights black lawyers getting onto the Supreme Court, at least not during the reign of George H.W. Bush. That couldn't have been any plainer than it, because, you know, Thomas rose through the ranks by affirmative action and started stomping every hand on every rung of the ladder under him, and then pulled what was remaining, wanted to pull what remained of the ladder back up after him. As for having a credibly charged sexual assaulter on the Supreme Court, again, I go back to what I said. You know, Rehnquist was a junkie, and we have a myth of the sanctity of the Supreme Court, and it is exactly it's a fairy tale. It's not, you know, usually myth has some core kernel of truth to it. But this is pure fantasy. The Supreme Court has the aura of respectability because it has the final word. But the fact of the matter is, the Supreme Court exists primarily to oppress, and very seldom gets it right, and has a history of getting stuff more wrong than right. And one need only study the history of the court's rulings to come to that conclusion. Even when they get things right, they often try to mitigate the rightness. Look at the all deliberate speed language in Brown versus Board of Education. It sounded like, oh man, let's get going, we're going to do this in a hurry, until you realize that the dictionary definition of deliberate is slow. So all slow speed. You get cases that are rightly decided, like Miranda, only because there was this country had a horrible problem of people being tortured into confessions. You get Loving versus Virginia, only because people were being murdered, tormented, tortured, driven from their homes, driven from their communities for having the temerity to marry across skin color boundaries that had been established for 400 years, 300 years, whatever. So I'm not going to get all worked up and breathless and over the Supreme Court, because it is not worth it. You know, we like for judges to behave with some sense of decorum, so that we can empower our own fantasies that somehow or another the system works, and that we are better than we actually are. But we aren't, and it isn't. So, Mike, hopefully that. So lo and behold, we're out of time. It's been another fantastic, rousing, extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation. And I want to thank all of you for participating. Thank you, Sparky, as usual, for your stellar job.
Something?
Yeah, go ahead.
John Brudovo was supposed to have been here, but he got a bottle of some good bourbon.
Whoa.
From a Blue Dot family member, and I think he was drinking it just before the show. So I think he might have napped out.
Well, good on you, John Brudovo. I hope it. Yeah, good stuff. And by the way, second debate between Beto and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was supposed to go down on Sunday night, but it's been canceled because Rafaelito says he's gonna have to be in D.C. for votes relating to the Kavanaugh nomination. It wasn't that conveniently done. He got his ass handed to him last time, and suddenly he heard his, he heard his master's voice, chinless Mitch.
Fine excuse.
And by the way, even, this is telling, even one of Rafaelito's wealthiest and most powerful backers has admitted publicly that, well, Ted's not real likable. And that, frankly, Beto has run an amazing campaign, and that he thinks the likability, Rafaelito's unlikability factor is playing a part in it. By the way, Beto has out-fundraised Rafaelito $23 million to $15 million, never having taken a dime of PAC money or corporate money, while that's practically all that Rafaelito gets. So
wow.
I have great hopes for him. They're running a smear on him right now. They're running smear ads on Beto, accusing him of being a diehard supporter of eminent domain, which is kind of funny in light of the fact that Rafaelito wants to build Donald Trump's stupid fucking wall that's going to ruin countless tens of thousands of acres of Texans' property. Because it ain't gonna be built in Mexico. What?
I can tell you from here. This is turning me into a little fan. The more that they try to bring him down. And Ted Cruz's performance this past week and what he's been doing, he is not helping himself.
I share your assessment. Anyway, it is time to get out of here. Thank you, Megan, for joining in. Thank you to Billable Rick. Thank you, Irwin. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you to Tracy. Thank you very kindly, everybody who joined in. It was fun. Hopefully, we'll have another one of these next Friday. And hey, Todd, thanks for joining in over on the stress line. It's great having you in on these Friday conversations. I really appreciate you joining in. And thanks to all of you who keep the horn on the air. Thanks to you, we've been able to have a relaxing, pleasant, wonderful, fundraising-free week of conversation radio. Thanks to our subscribers for that, and thanks to everybody else who keeps the program on the air through the course of the month. October 1st will be Monday, and we will be back at the fundraising game again. And of course, being Monday, being the first broadcast of the month, come Monday, Shirley's Memorial Challenge will be on the table. So, and who knows what's going to be here by Monday? The Morans will be stacking up and taking numbers. But thanks to all of you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in our little conversation here. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky, both in the chat room and over in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable Skype group. Thank you so much. Thank you to Steve. Hope you're enjoying the show tonight. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.